Qurbani, or Udhiya as it is known in Arabic, is the practice of sacrificing an animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every year on the days of Eid al-Adha from the 10th to the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, Muslims around the world who have the financial means sacrifice an animal in the name of Allah. This practice commemorates the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam thousands of years ago, who was prepared to sacrifice his beloved son Ismail alayhi salam for Allah's sake. However, in today's time, it has become common for people to do their qurbani in overseas or foreign countries. But is it even permissible to send money away for your qurbani to be carried out elsewhere? Radio Islam engaged Mufti Shafiq Jakura to understand some of these questions.
In terms of making qurbani overseas, in principle, this is acceptable. It is permissible to do one's qurbani overseas. But as a matter of principle, one should ensure that some qurbani is done in South Africa, at home or at the farm or wherever, so that the sunnah of qurbani is felt here, it is seen here, people, the family knows about it. Otherwise, what is going to happen, Maulana, is that a time is going to come that people are going to say that qurbani means send money overseas, you know, and this is not the real spirit of qurbani. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that qumi ila udhiyatiki, that stand up and witness your qurbani animal, see it being slaughtered. So this is a separate sunnah altogether. And obviously, if a person is going to be sending the qurbani animal abroad, then one is not going to be able to practice on this particular sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, another sunnah of qurbani is to actually eat the meat of the sacrificial animal. And if this is going to happen, that we're going to send our qurbani overseas or all of it overseas, we are not going to be able to practice upon this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Now, doing your qurbani in foreign lands, the onus and responsibility is upon yourself to ensure that the organization whom you are entrusting with your qurbani is reputable and will do due diligence.
As far as they are sort of bona fide individuals, upright, dini conscious individuals who are undertaking to ensure that the qurbani will be done, then they are undertaking to ensure that the qurbani will be done in terms of the principles and in terms of the condition of qurbani. So therefore, a person has to have some sort of certainty and confidence in the individuals or in the organization that is saying that they are going to carry out your qurbani in accordance with the conditions laid down by Islam, by the Sharia. In that regard, a person has to be sure that the organization is a bona fide organization, and the individuals behind it are bona fide individuals. One has confidence in them. They are experienced in this field. They have been doing it. Then, of course, if a person gives his qurbani and they fulfill it in the correct manner, then it would be valid and it would be deemed to be fulfilled. However, if a person has absolutely no clue, he just seen an advert pop up, he doesn't know who the people are, what it is, a person has to be careful, because this is an ibadat and we need to make sure that that ibadat is fulfilled in accordance with the principles, in accordance with the conditions that are required for that ibadat to be accepted and for that ibadat to be valid.
An interesting question is, what if the country in which you reside and the country where your qurbani is being done are celebrating Eid al-Adha on different days?
If qurbani is one day before, then although according to some opinions the qurbani will be valid, it is still better to tell the person on the other side that, look, wait one day and slaughter my animal on the second day so that it's also Eid on my side. You know, this would be the better thing to be doing. In the examples that you've taken, Maulana, that we sending the animals to India or to Pakistan, usually Eid is one day after in those particular countries. So we don't really have this issue. So even if they are slaughtering on their day of Eid, it will be our second day and the Qurbani would be valid, inshallah. However, if there is an instance where the day of Eid is earlier, then it is actually preferable and more cautious that we tell those parties that they should slaughter the animal on the second day so that at least our day of Eid would have commenced.
Now, those who do their Qurbani overseas do so primarily for two reasons. Firstly, it costs much cheaper to do it elsewhere.
Well, this is with regards to affordability. Many have the means, alhamdulillah, but many opt to go for the cheaper route. How would we gauge and define affordability?
Jazakumullah for that. Look, every person's circumstances are different. Some people may have money, they have other commitments. So this you will have to leave to the individual concerned. As mentioned, there are a lot of virtues that cannot be achieved simply by sending the animal overseas, and therefore if a person is able to do his qurbani locally, then he should rather do it locally, because he would be able to achieve far more virtue out of that qurbani in animal, far more reward in that regard. And merely sending it abroad just because it's cheap, that is not in keeping with the spirit of qurbani and sacrificing of a sacrificial animal on the day or on the days of Eid al-Adha.
Radio Islam also spoke to some organizations to understand how the pricing works and where the money goes.
The price factor, the price varies from area to area. You will find that in some areas it is relatively cheap, in other areas it is a little bit more expensive. The price is controlled by the availability in the areas that we do qurbani. We're not going to do qurbani at a price that is not feasible or viable. At the end of the day, we add a certain percentage to the price that we cost it at in order to cover our expenses, and also the excess funds that we make from this Qurbani project is reinvested or repatriated for various projects in the areas that we do Qurbani. Many of these areas we have long-term projects whereby we run maktabs, feeding schemes, and assisting people in bursaries, etc. So the project in itself is a very long, sustainable project, and is a project that we encourage people to continue to support. However, as a South African, we encourage the local people to at least do one qurbani, their wajib qurbani at home. And we have found over the years that majority of the qurbani that we receive from the donor base in South Africa is generally nafil or sadqa qurbanis. So again, it is not restricted to that, but also at the same time, look, taking into consideration the price factors in South Africa, if a family has to do technically five qurbanis, they're looking in excess of 10,000 rands. With the type of pricing that we offer, it does give them the flexibility to be able to do the other qurbanis in other areas after they have completed at least one, in order to keep the momentum going as far as qurbani is concerned in South Africa.
The second reason why so many people do their qurbani overseas is they do it on the understanding that they are Muslims who are living in abject poverty and don't get to eat meat except for the qurbani which they receive.
But just to explain the situation where the qurbani is being done in the very, very remote villages, very, very far away from actual civilization and cities, like we would say, people are facing a lot of hardship. Meat becomes honestly a luxury where they would afford to have meat on the days of qurbani. And that is also when I say afford, then, because mashallah, because of people's contribution and because of people's qurbani being done in those areas, that is why they are at liberty to have that meat. If you allow me to just one or two incidents very quickly I'll run through. So there was once, whilst we were slaughtering in one of the villages or the remote areas, there was a brother whose home we went to, and honestly his home was made up of bamboo stick, and it was covered by what we would call dustbin plastics. There were black plastics around his home. In that, of course, is himself, his wife and his two kids. So when we entered the home, then it was just basically one area, no partitions, in which you would find there was one bed in the the corner. In it you would find the kitchen, in it you would find their living room, everything, but a very, very small area, very small area. But mashallah, the man is happy, he's content. If this is his situation with regard to his home, then of course we can well imagine when it comes to meat, which is now of course for him a luxury and something that he and his family will only be able to have on the day of Eid.
So while it is permissible to do your qurbani in overseas countries, we should endeavor to do our wajib qurbani at home so that we can conform to the hadith which encourages us to physically witness our qurbani being slaughtered to partake of its meat, and so that our children can see, learn and uphold this great virtuous act that is so beloved to Almighty Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our qurbani and grant us the tawfiq and the understanding to realize the true spirit of qurbani.
Mandi mein jaunga, 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 aur bakra launga, launga, launga. Mandi mein jaunga.